We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Parents, do your children need some time away from you? Bring them to our Vacation Bible School, July 10th through the 13th, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at First United Methodist Church, 201 East 3rd Street, Seymour. You can register by visiting Trinity United Methodist Church website or Facebook page. It will be a stellar adventure. Hope to see you there. And our next community meal will be Saturday, July 15th from 5 to 7 p.m. Please come and enjoy a good meal that includes chicken and lots of friendly faces. Once again, it is at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Our scripture this morning comes from John 15, 9 through 17. Well, if I can find it. Okay. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. God's word for God's people.
Praise be to God. Good morning. I would like for you to close your eyes for just a moment and picture a friend. Doesn't have to be a close friend. It can be any friend. It can be a friend from high school. It can be a friend from anywhere in the past. It can be a friend sitting next to you today. Just picture them in your mind. What made you want to be friends with this person? Can you remember where you first met them? Do you know intimate details about them? You can open your eyes and let's leave your friend hanging around, because that friend is going to help us in determining a little bit about today's passage. You know, I've found that it is extremely important that we read the word in context, that we read the passage before, that we read the passage after, that we remember how it was directed to the initial audience, that we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the scripture. And when we struggle to understand the scripture, we go to wise counsel, a discerning friend who can help us to understand the scripture. And equally, if not more important, that each of us know in the depth of our being the character of God the Father. For God the Father's character will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And when we struggle with a passage of Scripture, we can fully rely upon the character of God. For what I have found is that when I pray, and my prayers aren't answered exactly how angel thinks they should be answered, no matter whose name I pray to men, no matter how sincerely I prayed it, whether or not I fasted, I can trust God the Father. And Jesus the Son, who stands at the Father's right hand and advocates for us, he says, Father, this one is mine. We are blessed with having God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we can always count on their character. We know what the Word of God says about the character of our God. This passage in John is describing some of the things that Jesus said to his disciples, the ones who had followed him for 3 years as they sat around the Passover cedar table after the meal. He was taking a final opportunity to fill in his disciples as to what was going to happen to them, knowing full well that they couldn't possibly understand it, but also knowing that, like all of us human beings, we hear something, it happens, and we have a better understanding after it's happened. He was preparing them for his death. He was also preparing them for the work that they must carry on for him. Each and every one of us are called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to lead people to the foot of the cross and to let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. This is one of those passages that has sometimes created real confusion for those reading it. In fact, this particular passage has caused many to question their entire faith. And it has even been said that when this passage was not lived out the way that some of us intended it to be, that it caused people to lose their faith. Again, this is why it is so important to read the Word in context, to know in the depth of your being the character of God, and to know that our God answers our prayers according to and in alignment with His will for us. Jesus was talking about His relationship with the men sitting around the table. Up to this point, they had been students, followers, servants. And he tells them now that they are friends, and that everything that he has been teaching them up until now boils down to one thing. And that one thing is love. That we are to love God the Father with our whole heart, with our mind, with our strength, and then we are to love one another. Now, this was some pretty incredible news coming to Jewish men in Jerusalem. You see, they had so many commandments that they were to live by that it felt almost impossible to actually live out all of the commandments, all of the human rules that they decided to live by. Do you know why we make rules like that? Because we feel as if we have to have some control in life. Yes, there were guidelines that God the Father set down. But the Jewish people of that time, just the same as we do now, created legislative rules for people to follow because they felt they had to have some control over what was happening. Just as God had loved Jesus, and Jesus had loved them and loved them well, now the number one commandment they were to obey was to love one another. It sounds nice to us, but would it have been just a bit more difficult to these guys sitting at the table, these first century Jewish men who had to obey all kinds of commandments. The priest also had a long list of steps that we had to go through to be forgiven at that point in time. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we don't have all those rituals and steps to go through now. For when Christ Jesus' work was finished upon the cross, the veil was torn, and we have direct access to him. All we have to do is first and foremost ask Jesus Christ into our hearts. Ask him to be our Lord and Savior. And then every time we fall short of the glory of God, which we will continue to do because none of us will be perfected in this life, every time we fall short of the glory of God, we have only to ask for his forgiveness, and it is granted. Most people back in biblical times spent a significant part of their day trying really hard not to violate any of the commandments, because for them it was nearly impossible to jump through all of the hurdles necessary to obtain official forgiveness. And without forgiveness, they were considered unclean. Not only could they not participate in the rituals in the temple, they couldn't participate in some of the day-to-day activities if they were considered unclean. So these guys knew all about commandments, most of which dealt with everything but love. Love was now the one commandment that they were being asked to keep. And if you think about it, if we love God with our whole being, and if we truly attempt to love one another, we won't break any of the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. We will not harm one another. I don't know about you, but I know the closer that I get to God the Father, to Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit begins convicting me, I feel as if when I sin, I am driving those nails into Jesus' hands and feet myself. I feel as if I am wounding him again. I also can hear him say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." In the midst of dying, the most agonizing death known to human life, he asked for the Father to forgive us. So these guys knew about commandments, and they were being asked to live out a new commandment. And Jesus complicated things even more by explaining to them that from this point on, by following this one commandment, the men around the table were no longer students, disciples, servants, but they were now friends. "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends." This was a huge deal. It was a big promotion from the students and the servants they have been to actually being a friend of Jesus. And then he said, "And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name." Wait a minute. Did he just say that he will give me whatever I ask for as long as I ask for it in Jesus' name? I think that's what John said. I hope that we use some discernment in this, because there have been people who have totally lost their faith by believing that they will receive absolutely anything they ask for in the name of Jesus. One thing so important for us to remember is it going to glorify God? Is it in alignment with God's will. And beloved, does it cross? Does it go against anything else that the Holy Word of God has told you? I remember a woman coming to my office. I was brand new. I was still in seminary. I had my first church, and she came in and she was telling me how God had sent her love. She told me that this person she was in love with, that she worked with, knew everything about her, and they were totally connected. And then she told me he was married. I was like, honey, I'm pretty sure God did not send you this man. And then I prayed an awful lot. Okay, Lord, help me to get through to her why she has to break this off at this point in time. But wait, if Jesus did say that God would give us anything we ask for as long as we ask for it in His name, why doesn't it always work? I'm guessing that there are some of you present here today who have prayed sincerely with your whole heart, who have prayed in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I've fasted 3 and 4 days for those who are going through treatment and prayed for them. I know that some of you have knelt beside the bedside and prayed for healing. I know that some of you have prayed for wholeness and restoration of those you love, that they would be made whole. We have prayed for addictions to be cast out. We have prayed sincerely for many things in Jesus' name. But they don't always materialize. Number one, I have learned well that we get at least 3 answers, if not more. We get yes. We get no, because often God the Father knows that this is not in our best interest, or it doesn't fit into the entire tapestry that He is weaving. And we get wait. I have heard people tell me that God has answered their prayers after 15 and 20 years. And they have been praying that entire time. I've heard people tell me that they prayed early on in their marriage about something. And 25 years later, it was answered. And they realized that that was God's answer for them. Based on what John said, if our prayers haven't been answered, there are some who would conclude that we've not been doing our part. We obviously have not gone out and borne good fruit. You know, I was told that when I did CPE, training for chaplaincy, ministry in the hospital, that the larger hospitals no longer let preachers go from room to room to room, praying over people, because even with the best of intentions, some people can do major damage. Some people believe fully that if you are going through crisis, whether it's financial, whether it's family, or whether it's health, it's because you have sinned and you have not confessed your sin. Some people believe that it's because you have failed to bear good fruit. And those things, beloved, just are not true. I don't know why God doesn't answer some prayers right away. What I do know is that our God is a mighty big God. He is a loving God whom we can fully trust. And I don't need to come up with answers for Him, because He will answer each and every one of us on His timetable. But Jesus didn't say that there were any rules. Creating new rules to getting our prayers heard or answered is our attempt to control issues in our life that are out of control. And beloved, I totally get that. I totally get that. When things in my life are out of control, I've been told to go back and look at the last thing that God said to me and to pray over that. Now that makes sense to me. To try to go about bearing good fruit that's going to get my prayers heard doesn't make sense. To do it only in that moment, only for those prayers to be answered. Because, beloved, no matter how the prayer is answered, yes, no, wait, I have something better, God always hears our prayers. That I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Some people feel if Jesus is truly a friend, a good friend, then why does he not do, as the word says, why does he not answer my prayers just like that? I prayed in Jesus' name. Well, perhaps they're not praying with the right intention. I don't want to say that. Perhaps God the Father knows that there is something better for them. Perhaps when they're praying in Jesus' name, it is something that only God himself can control. I don't know. What I do know is the character of God is love. That Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins. That he advocates for each one of us at the right hand of God. And that through the Holy Spirit, each and every one of our prayers is heard, even when we don't have the words to pray. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit enters with groans deeper than any words could ever use. And our prayers are indeed carried up high. Remember the friend that I asked you to picture? I don't know. Some of you might have pictured a friend that you are really close with, an intimate friend who knows every detail of your life, that you share details with, a friend that you feel that life just wouldn't be the same without them. I have an amazing best friend. Her name is Missy. She came to me several churches ago and told me, God said that I am to be your Aaron. Forgive me, Lord. But I looked at her and said, so are you going to preach for me? I went home and I talked to my mentor about it. And he said, Angel, let her. Let her come alongside of you. I was still a little stubborn at that point. 2 months later, she came to me and said, God said I am to be your Aaron. And I remembered what my mentor said. And she has come alongside me and held up my hands in battle when I was praying and too tired and too exhausted to go on. She is a friend that I share everything with. But in this particular passage, they are talking about a different kind of friendship. To the first century scholars that John is speaking to, they are talking about a friendship that says, you ever heard of friends in high places? A friendship that says this person has a position that they will use to assist you in the things that you need in life. So this is not a super close, intimate friend that you share every detail of life with. This is someone who has a position that will help you. Talk about a new definition for friends in high places. Jesus does indeed stand at the right hand of God advocating for us. He did indeed. In love, stay to that cross, because we know full well that it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, it was his love for us that held him to that cross. And it was his love for us that said, forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. That might not be the kind of friendship that we share every intimate detail of our life with. We might not call them up and ask them to go to a movie or out to eat with us. It might not even be a very close friendship. But it could be somebody in politics. It could be somebody who could offer us wise counsel. It could be somebody who could use their position of power to assist us in the things that we are looking for in life. It's also important to realize, for example, if we have a friend who is in politics, who might even work for the president, that does not mean that they can do the same exact things that the president can do. They can only do the things that their name and their office calls them to do. Could it be that the same thing applies here? When we pray in Jesus' name, could it be that the problem is that with some of those prayers, that it is totally under God's control and that He will handle it in the way that He sees fit? Could it be that Jesus' role of Son of God was to reach out to us and to offer us all that He had to offer, still recognizing that some things remain in the hand of God alone? I think that it's extremely important for us to remember when we pray that if it is the Father's will, that He will move in mysterious ways to answer those prayers. I love our song of response, which Georgie will play for us in just a moment. It tells us what a friend we have in Jesus. I don't know about you, but knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that my prayers are heard, give me a glimpse of hope. And I do know that even when our prayers are not answered in the way that we would have them to be answered, we are called to trust God with all our mind, all our heart, and all of our spirit. And that we don't always need to understand why things turn out the way that they do. We are just called to trust the love of God. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I don't know about you, but for me personally, then I have to leave it there. Because I have a tendency to carry something to God in prayer, to put it in His hands, to say, I trust you, God. And sometimes it's not but a few minutes later that something hits me and I'm trying to grab it back from Him. I have to leave it there. God is not Santa Claus. He doesn't answer our demands at whim. He will indeed bring us solace through prayer. Please join me in singing What a Friend I Have in Jesus, found on page 526 of your hymnal or on the screen.